woman's love is so sweet, but I know that your love is sweeter. Please sweeten this bitterness that I feel now in my heart. Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Good evening, my dear friends. Here we are, of a life story of an Orthodox Christian monk who came to the a silly idea to open his life and to talk about secret parts of his life, actually to talk about everything of his life, because he was not a monk all his life. He was a regular young man born in Belgrade, Serbia. Then at the age of 27 he moved to United States, Manhattan, New York, and he spent there 6 years. And during his youth, until his 29th year of his life, when he realized the final truth of life, he went under a lot of suffering, like many young people do in this world. And unfortunately, many of them never find the exit, and many of them suffer greatly, and to the most unfortunate result, many of them are not alive anymore. They either kill themselves or die from diseases, or even they get killed, living very risky and sinful and very poisonous life. So being one of them, and having realized that life can be really a torture and something without sense, but at the same time being conscious that life is actually something most beautiful that is given to us human creatures, this monk, who was not monk all his life, he realized that it would be good. He deeply believes that this idea came to me from the very creator of the universe, that it would be good to open his heart and to talk about his life experience and what really happened to him. So this was my idea, to talk about one regular young man who was always looking and searching for higher meaning, higher purpose of life. And thanks to all heavens, he found that meaning. He has found that purpose. and not without danger from the spiritual realm. He is now opening his heart to all of you who have enough time and energy to listen to him. So when I came back home to New York from Pennsylvania, from monastery of St. Tikhons of Zadonsk, he became conscious of great change that happened in his life, primarily in his inner life, in his spiritual, secret, psychical life. And I remember when I was leaving my homeland, my home city, Belgrade, Serbia, several years before that, I was preparing myself, and last month before I left, I knew that I'm leaving. And wherever I was aware that those are my last days in my home city. And only God knows whether I'm going to come back ever, or if it happens, who knows when. So during those last days of my life in my home city, I was saying goodbye and I was saying farewell to everything, to the streets, to buses, to the houses of my town, to the birds, to my friends, to my relatives, to my childhood, to my youth, to my memories. I was saying goodbye to my whole life spent in Belgrade, Serbia. And it was not without certain sadness, but at the same time, this joy and excitement that I am going in new life, that I am leaving my small country and going to big country, whole new continent, to American continent, and going to my beloved New York. I was really excited, and this excitement was much higher than this small sadness. So I found myself in a similar state, because now I was not leaving one country or one city or one continent. I was leaving the world in general. I was preparing to set on a completely new way of life, to leave everything that is common and usual for average man in this life, in this world. And that was not easy commitment, that was not easy decision, but deep in myself, I was so full of some special and strange and unfathomable energy that was strongly taking me and cutting me off from this world. So it was really very mysterious and strange what was happening in me. At the same time, being almost scared, what is going to be with me? What will happen to me? Maybe I'm going to a disaster. Maybe I'm going to get crazy, or anything that a common man thinks about monastic life, especially these days. Maybe in the past it was not that strange, but in this postmodern age, somebody to leave the world, all the beauties and temptations of this world, is something really crazy. And that's what I was faced with many of friends of mine and people that used to know me, when they finally heard that I'm going to the monastery, that I'm going to be a monk. I think 99% of them thought that I really just freaked out. I'm definitely going crazy. So they really felt pity on me. Some of them showed it, some of them not. But I could see that. They all feel pity for me, thinking, oh, what a pity, such a nice young man, talented and full of life, is going into the grave before the time. So maybe in the same manner I used to think about people who are going to the monastery before, but now I have realized that it is such a great joy to me, that it was much bigger joy than when somebody goes to get married. I was really feeling that a beautiful, a most beautiful, lofty marriage is waiting for me. But of course, definitely, it was not easy. My whole life was getting upside down, and everything was running through my mind. A lot of memories from the very childhood that I remember myself to the last day and at that moment I was 29 years old. Everything was running around my mind, and for certain moments it was very intense that I didn't know what to do, how to go through these all temptations that are coming to me. But the prayer was always there, and this certain warmth that was really warming me deep in my heart was giving me strength to go through all those temptations. But I have to admit, the hardest was idea that I'm not going to have wife. From my youth, I used to have girls, and it was very important to me always to have a girl besides me. And I was never, ever too much faithful to one girl, unfortunately. That was the way that I was living, and that was the way that my friends were living. And as a matter of fact, the whole society is telling, maybe not openly, but definitely the society is telling, enjoy your life. If you're not married, have many girls. Change. Indulge in life. Use everything that is given to you. Finally, you are living only once. When you die, there is nothing anymore. And that's how I was living in New York as well. At that time, I remember, I think I was dating 3 girls. Of course, they didn't know that. And deep in myself, I felt really terrible. And I knew that I'm doing really terrible thing and crazy thing. And that's not the way, but it was a weakness. And we are all full of weaknesses. And I was just seduced on it. And it was some kind of addiction. Somebody is addicted to gambling, alcohol, drugs. I was addicted to having girls and for this bodily contact with them. So even before my strong decision that I'm going to become a monk, I have decided that it is finished with women. But now, when I have decided definitely that I am going to the monastery and that I will become a monk, this temptation really became extremely strong. And it came to the level that sometimes it was giving me really a hard time. I remember there was a girl living upstairs on the second floor in my building. We were not in connection. We were not lovers. But she liked me. She liked me a lot. I remember that. And I think she was German. She was an artist and living in New York at that time. And lately, she was coming very often down to my apartment. And she was acting really strange. She would look at me and talk that she really likes me and she is waiting for me. And sometimes she would lay down on the floor and we were talking like that. I mean, she was literally like a crazy girl. She was, you know, cute, but at that time I have already made a decision: no more sex, no more love with women, only love with Supreme Being, with Eternal Being of God the Father. But she couldn't understand that, and she was really making herself really, she was really putting down her human dignity, her female dignity in front of me. She was really acting as a hot cat, you know, cat that wants to mate, you know. And finally it became really, you know, really unpleasant to me to see this. And I was sure, definitely, that she wouldn't act this way, that didn't make this decision, because the demons were forcing herself to act this way, and she was really not aware that she was under the influence of demonic powers who were trying to make myself change my mind. So she was acting like no other girl would act in front of me this way, and she was not aware what is she doing. And it was so sad to look at this. Finally, I was forced to tell her in a very strict tone that she has to leave my apartment and not to come anymore, because this is really ridiculous. What is she doing of herself? And that I have no any intention to be her lover. So she finally left, but it was really extremely difficult to see the whole thing, and I was really feeling pity for her. Once I was called to go to a birthday party. A friend of mine from Belgrade, he came to New York with his girlfriend, and it was her birthday, so they invited me to come and visit them. Those days I was not really anymore in mood to go to parties and to nightclubs, and I really cut off all those social connections and events, but those were really good friends of mine, and so I just couldn't refuse them. So I dressed the most simply that I could, and I went there. So I was among first visitors, and I was trying to sit there for a while and to leave, not to wait until the whole crowd get there. But to my disappointment, very soon after my arrival, there arrived a girl, a very nice looking girl, blonde one. She was from Texas, and she was an actress, and she was in New York shooting some TV series or something like that. And she was really attractive, a young woman, and she came straight to me, and she sat next to me on sofa. So we went into conversation, and she was really showing me that she likes me. And it was very painful to me, because I was not made of stone. I was a young man, a healthy one, not the one who was still looking for love. But since my love became only the Son of Lord, Jesus Christ, it was very hard to me to stand, to bear presence of nice women next to me. Although the grace, God's grace, gave me this strength, and in general it was not that hard to me, but in this moment this young woman was very cute, very nice, and as a matter of fact she was not really crazy like many of the actresses are, and she was very decent, and she looked like a person that I would definitely be with before. So she was telling about her life and how she came from Texas and planning to stay in big city and become an actress, and that she had a good managers. So, I was sure that there was a great career in front of her. And all the time she was staring directly to my eyes. And finally she told me that she would really like to know me, and if we could see each other after that party again. And it was really hard to me, to say in a way no to her. And I told her that it is time for me to go now, because I have some very important obligation to do. So she was so disappointed. She said, "Why? The party just started. Please do not leave. At least give me your telephone number." And I said, "Well, my telephone is cut off because I didn't have money to pay, so now I am without telephone." She said, "Well, okay, give me your address." So I was lying that now I'm moving to another apartment, but she can be in touch with me through our common friends. So, and she finally was calmed down, when she realized that, I gave her a chance. So through my friend, she could get in contact with me. So it was really hard to me, and I took my jacket and I said goodbye to everybody. So I went down, get into my van, and I was on my way towards my home. And on the highway, driving, I came to the extremely hard state of my soul. I was so full of some terrible sadness, and I almost started to cry. And I prayed to the Lord to give me strength to go through all those temptations. And I prayed to Him, and I said, "Oh my Lord, oh my only love, Son of God, Jesus Christ, I never knew for You before. And I thought the Christians are just, losers and cowards and weak people. I thought You do not exist. It's just a great delusion. But now when I felt your love, when I felt your beautiful presence, and when I have decided that only your love is going to be my only love in my life, please, do not leave me. I need your love. I cannot live without love. Please be with me. Fill me with your love. Come in me, stay in me, dwell in me. Never leave me. It is so painful to make sharp cuts like you are teaching me to do. It is so sweet. Woman's love is so sweet. But I know that your love is sweeter. Please, sweeten this bitterness that I feel now in my heart, this sadness that I feel because I didn't stay with a beautiful, nice, and very decent young girl. Please, fill my heart with your love and never let any other love come to my heart except yours. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. So I was driving and praying like this, and the tears were coming down from my eyes, down my cheeks, and getting into my beard that was already there, not very long, but and through my mustache, the tears were getting into my mouth, and I was drinking my tears as Prophet David sings in his Psalms. So finally, I came home. It was already around 10 o'clock. So tomorrow morning, I had to wake up early and to go to the church and to continue my work, painting icon screen for Father Makarios Church in Mexico City. And at that time, in order to cool down my bodily passions, I have decided to sleep not in bed, but on the floor. I would put only thin blanket on the floor, just not to get directly on the floor. And I would put small pillow and I would cover myself with another blanket. So it was pretty painful this way, and somebody would think that these Christians are really insane masochists. But love, this supreme love, is crazy love. Is love that makes you do many crazy things. But this craziness, this beautiful spiritual love, is something that is most sweet in our lives. And if we take a look, when we are in love with a certain woman, we are ready to do many silly things, many crazy things, and nobody complains about it. But when somebody does an ascetical feat in order to get closer to the creator of the universe, then they say, this guy went crazy, he's a masochist, that's so morbid. So that's why I was sleeping on the floor, to show to my beloved Son of God how much do I care for him, and how much do I love him, and how much do I despise my very life and my body. Because when I felt this divine love, I have forgotten everything from this life. So I went in my so-called bed, and slowly I was falling asleep with prayer on my lips. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. O Lord, my beloved Jesus, do not leave me. Send me your love so that I could forget every other worldly love. So finally I fell asleep. And I think around midnight, maybe it was 1 in the morning, all of a sudden, although of course my apartment was locked, I think I woke up, but I'm not sure. It was a similar state of mind when I was back in the monastery, when I was dreaming that I woke up. So it was similar. I was dreaming that I woke up, or maybe I was awake. And at that moment, it was absolutely dark and quiet. It was something like maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, the doors of my bedroom abruptly opened, and to my great astonishment, a fat, ugly woman with broken teeth and with ugly smile and with dirty hair jumped into my bedroom, and she came to my bed and she took the end, she grasped the end of my blanket, and she started slowly to pull it off me. And then she looked at me and she said, what do you have in your mind? Do you think you are going to leave me? Do you think you are going to escape me? You are wrong. You are mine. You are always mine, and you will stay mine. And she was looking at me with her ugly eyes and with her ugly smile, with broken teeth, ugly fat woman, stinking ugly fat woman, the personification of lust, and dirty, the dirtiest lust. And at the same moment, I didn't feel really fear, but I was just disgust. It was so disgusted to look at that whole vision. And then all of a sudden a strong anger rise in me, and I took the blanket and pulled it strong towards myself, and I said, you bastard, leave, get away in the name of Jesus Christ, go away, leave my apartment, vanish in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that moment, she just vanished. So it was, I was faced with second diabolical vision. It was again meeting with a diabolical creature, with a demon. Only this time, the demon took up the form of this terrible, ugly, stinking, fat woman. And last time, he was in the form of my beloved Father Nicodemus. And it was really hard for me to continue to sleep. And I woke up and I was praying for more than 2 hours, and then really tired and really fed up with everything, almost sick, I fell asleep again. So the demon was trying to scare me, especially the demon of sexual lust, because he has realized that I'm trying to stop my slavery to him. And this was one of his attacks, very unpleasant one. And after this, I was feeling a certain stench in my apartment for more than 3 days. And a few more girls were also calling me and saying, what is going on with you? I mean, why don't you call me? Why don't you meet me? Why don't you come to see me like you used to do? So I was not answering telephone anymore. And thank God that we didn't have mobile phones at that time. So I was really trying to avoid all those contacts with women, because I knew that if I make love again with some of them, this beautiful, sublime, lofty, divine love will withdraw, and that I cannot stand this terrible emptiness in my heart after those withdrawals. So in the same time, it was great struggle for me. And on one hand, very great struggle, and on the other, beautiful lightness, beautiful easiness of everything, fullness of joy and love and happiness, that I was facing the fact that I'm finally going to fulfill all my hopes in my youth, that I finally found the true way of my life. And this was extremely beautiful feeling of final victory, that I have found what I was always looking for. And this deep insight was so strong that I was almost like not on earth. I was somewhere between earth and heavens. But for such a step in one's life, it was extremely important that we come to the point of complete disdain of everything of this life, of everything of this world, to despise everything deeply and completely, everything that is around us. Not to hate, but not to be connected to anything anymore. And I remember when I was reading Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard, one of the greatest philosophers of modern age. He is concerned an existentialist, together maybe the biggest and maybe the one of first existentialists in philosophy of New Age, together with Friedrich Nietzsche. Although Kierkegaard was extremely a faithful Christian, and at the same time Friedrich Nietzsche was Antichrist, as he called himself in his last book, Ecce Homo, in Latin. So in this book about fear and trembling, called this way, Kierkegaard said that it is extremely important for a man, if he wants to mature and if he wants to reach the highest point, the height of faith. And he was saying that faith is something extremely important. So when somebody has a faith, such a strong faith as Abraham, who was ready to sacrifice his son, his only beloved son, this faith is something that is extremely above this world. And he was calling such a person knights of faith. He said to reach this highest point of faith, it is extremely important to despise everything, the ultimate resignation of everything in this world. And he made the whole story, the whole theory about this resignation, everything in this world. But then I understood that this is nothing else but that what Jesus says in Gospel: if one doesn't hate his parents and his children and the whole life and his very soul, he is not ready to go after him. Or that is to say, he is not ready to become Jesus' disciple. Or that is to say, he is not ready to receive the grace of the Lord. He is not ready to become a real Christian. So this is what I was feeling those days in New York. Complete disdain, complete despise of everything in my life. I was cutting off myself from everything of this world. And I didn't lament. Finally, I didn't cry about it. I was so free. This way, I was releasing myself from the bonds of this world. And it was so good feeling. It was feeling of ultimate freedom. We are hooked on everything. We are addicted on so many things. So when you receive the living God in yourself, then you are not addicted on anything else except of Him. But it's such a great addiction, because this addiction gives you ultimate freedom, the highest freedom that a human being can reach in this life. So this beautiful, lofty freedom that I was in was giving me strength to go through all those mysterious happenings that were taking place in those days of my life. So when it says in the Holy Gospel, if you do not hate your father, your mother, your children, that doesn't really mean that you really hate them, because the Lord is Lord of love and this is gospel of love. But it means that you do not feel any bonds anymore in your life. That you are not bound, that you are not stick to anything of this life. That you are not in these strong connections with everything of this life and of this world. Because it pulls you down. As much you are bound to things of this life, that much you are not free. That much you are slave of these temporal things, that they are passing away, and bound to the things that they are passing away, you are absolutely far away from those eternal things that are always going to exist. But the Lord was granting me strength, and I remember those days, it would happen that I cannot sleep whole night, that I was laying down, but being completely filled and covered with some kind of flames and some beautiful warmness that was streaming through my whole being and making me feel that I was embraced by some immaterial being, bodiless being, and that something was loving me so tenderly that I never felt in my life. I never felt that somebody was loving me this way. Not my mother, nor any girl was so sweet to me like that embrace that I felt during those nights. So it was constant combat in myself with good and evil powers. Good powers were telling me, now is the time to be with us, to come to eternal life. Come with us. Leave everything down. Cut all your bonds with this life. We will give you eternal one. And those evil powers were attacking me all the time, making me change my mind and really to waver and hesitate about my whole decision, about my whole life. But definitely the Lord's call was stronger than everything. And slowly I was flowing towards monastic life. At that time happened a very beautiful event, very mysterious one, who gave me a lot of strength to keep on my way that was in front of me. There was a lounge not far away from my home in Brooklyn, Williamsburg, and the owners were Greeks. They were people that came from Greece maybe 20 years ago, and they were very nice and decent Orthodox Christian, pious believers, faithful people. They were decent and very old-fashioned people. And when I have realized that there is a Greek restaurant, I thought that they probably know what is fasting, because I was fasting Monday, Wednesday and Fridays, eating only vegetarian. So in the vicinity there were several Polish restaurants, but they were not really, I couldn't believe them anymore, because once I was asking for vegetarian soup, and it was I think lentil soup, but then I have realized it was made with the beef. The beef was in the soup, I mean not meat, but it was cooked with beef, and then the beef was taken out. And sometimes they would put some milk or something, and they would say it's lenten. So they didn't really know what is lenten food. And Greeks, they of course, they were Orthodox Christians, so they knew what is fasting and how do we fast Wednesdays and Fridays, of course. And so I had taken Monday because I was preparing myself to be a monk. So monks, they fast Mondays. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. So once when I was there having my Lenten meal, it was Wednesday, wife, the Greek lady, she was in front of the pult, and she told me if I heard for this myrrh-gushing icon in Greek cathedral in Brooklyn downtown. I said, what does it mean, myrrh-gushing? She said, we have icons that are sometimes the very special oily substance is coming out of those icons, and it resembles that an icon is crying. I said, what do you mean? How is it possible? I never heard of something like that. You mean that from the wooden icon, from wood, that something can leak out, you know, some kind of liquid? She said, yes, but it's a very common thing in Orthodox Christianity that we have this myrrh. That myrrh is this special oil liquid, very often with beautiful smell, is coming out from the board. And I said, I never heard from this. How is it possible? She said, of course it is. It's a God's miracle. And it usually happens when there are some great events in the world. Usually some of them that they are not good, you know. And at that time, there was a war in Gulf. There was a war between Iraq and Iran. And the America went in war with Iraq. And there was that terrible bloody war in the desert. And the Americans called it in the Hollywood style. They like this, you know, bombastic names. They called it a desert storm. And in that terrible, really terrible desert storm, they killed 200,000 Iraq soldiers. So in connection with this event, there was an icon of Holy Mother of Lord, Mary, Virgin Mary, that started to cry. And it was an icon on the icon screen of this Greek church in Brooklyn, and that it started to gush this special myrrh that it was coming out of the icon. So I said, it really sounds interesting, but of course I didn't tell her that I really doubt it, but I said, well, I would like to see that if it is possible. She said, of course it is, and she gave me the address of the church. But of course I was thinking about it, what did this could be, you know, and I thought, it is probably a raisin that comes out of the old dry board, or maybe some kind of condensation of humidity from the air. But of course, I thought, well, I believe in the Lord, and I know that many things are possible, many things that are called miracles. But something like this, you know, today in New York, you know, in Brooklyn, that something like this happened, I thought, I really hardly believe this. So 2 days after that, I had to do something in Brooklyn, in downtown Brooklyn, and I recalled that this Greek lady, what did she tell me about this Greek church? So I went there and I pressed the buzzer of the church, and there was a nice young girl opened the door, and she said yes, and I explained to her that I am an Orthodox Christian, and I'm an iconographer, and I have heard they have beautiful icons in their church, and besides that I have heard that something miraculous is happening one of those icons. And she said, oh yes, that's true, please come in. The church was empty, of course, it was locked, it was early afternoon, and she took me into the church, and so we it was one of those American Greek churches. They had benches, they had chairs, like in Roman Catholic churches. Although we in Europe, in Russia, Serbia, Greece, we do not have seats this way. We have a certain number of seats, but around the walls, but not in the middle of the church. In the middle of the church we stand, because when you stand, you are awake and you can pray much better than when you sit down. So finally, we came to the icon screen, and from the distance I have already noticed there was some kind of a silk rope put in front of the icon so that nobody can come right in front of the icon. So this was some kind of sign that you cannot come close to the icon, so you cannot touch her. But of course I came very close, not more than 1 meter And then I realized that underneath the icon there was some kind of vessel made out of metal, long, thin vessel, narrow vessel, and it was some kind of container, because there was this very special thick liquid that was coming out from the head, from the face of the Mother of the Lord. And it was really astonishing seeing that. And it was thick, so it was not really running out, but it was slowly leaking down. And there was several points on her face, mostly around the eyes, but then on the cheeks and on the forehead as well. And this liquid was coming slowly down, very slowly, like honey, for example. Even it was thicker than oil. It was like honey. So it was slowly, slowly leaking down through the surface of the icon. And I was really astonished. I was thinking what this could be. How it is possible that from old, dry, wooden board, that something like this can come out. At the same time, I was, as an iconographer, as an artist, I have realized that those icons were very well done in nice Byzantine style. I have noticed that the faces and the skin was a little bit too white, too pale. So I understood that the artist was using too much white in the color for the skin. And from that point, and from that reflection about the color of her face, of the faces of other icons, then with my eyes, with my sight, I came back to the face of Holy Virgin, and to my even greater astonishment, I have realized that her face is not that pale at all. It has this blush of flesh of young girl. It has this beautiful, very subtle pink color, flesh color, but flesh of a young girl. And staring more at this face, I saw how beautiful she is and how she really is different than all the other faces on the icons. And at that moment, I have realized that she is like alive. Of course, those who are listening to this, they will think that it was some kind of religious fanatism, some kind of religious madness. But I'm stating this in front of the Lord, and let him judge me if I am lying, that this holy face of the Virgin Mary was absolutely transfigured in some mysterious way, and she was there like alive, watching at me, watching like with her alive eyes. And I didn't even pay attention to this mysterious liquid that it was leaking down from her face. But this beauty of her face, this transfiguration of regular icon, was much more astonishing to me. And I was so surprised in a really beautiful manner, realizing that there is a living creature in front of me. And I was just standing there, and my heart was burning out of some immense love. And I was feeling love towards this heavenly vision, towards this heavenly creature, towards this beautiful, most beautiful girl of all the girls in the world, in whole humanity, Virgin Mary, that gave birth to the Son of God. I was just standing there and staring at her, and I just couldn't move. And then finally I came to myself, and I have noticed that this girl who let me in, she was standing beside me, and she has realized what I was thinking. And at that moment she told me, "Do you see how beautiful she is?" I knew that she thinks on that beauty, that this divine beauty that was coming out of this image. And I said, "Yes, it's incredible. I have never seen something like this in my life." And I understood that she was talking about this divine beauty that happened through this transfiguration. And it was, of course, in connection with this gushing of this myrrh out of the icon. And at that moment, we were really connected. We were together in this grace. But then finally, I think she realized that I was there too long and that she has other things to do. And I said, oh, please forgive me. I stayed too long. I just couldn't go from this place, from this sight, from this beautiful vision. And finally, I left. And on my way home, I do not remember the streets and the highways where I was going through. I was just in my mind together with this beautiful vision. And I was deeply convinced it was not of this world. It was not my imagination. It was far away from imagination. Moreover, I was very suspicious that I'm going to see anything really miraculous in this church. And I was very suspicious that something like this is even possible. Maybe it was possible centuries ago in the lives of saints, but today, no. I do not remember that I have seen something like this in my life. So when I came home, I came to my icon of Virgin Mary, which was in my sleeping room. And I told her, oh Virgin Mary, oh you most blessed girl, please forgive me, because until this moment, I never really venerated you as it was truly meet. I was always, since my conversion in faith, always completely directed towards your Son, Jesus Christ. But I have never had any real relation towards you. Please forgive me. Now you showed me that you are alive and that you are so beautiful. And you are really the beginning of our salvation. Please be with me, never leave me, and help me. Help me to paint your beautiful image, your beautiful face. Help me, give me strength, give me power to grasp the beauty of your face and to depict it on my icons, because I am daring to become an icon painter. O most beautiful Mother of Lord, forgive me, help me, and be always with me. So finally, after this really incredible, strange and mysterious thing that happened to me with visit to this church and being aware of this beautiful mystery that I have seen, after this look of her eyes that hit me in my heart, that wounded my heart with this divine love, after this look of her eyes, my heart started to burn with even more love towards her Son and towards herself. And finally, I was released from longing towards mortal women, towards mortal girls. And I was so astonished to realize that this happening that took place in this church through God's providence helped me to get rid of this longing towards women. And I have felt that I'm freed finally from lust. And it was such a great victory that I was afraid it was just a delusion, that it was just my fantasy. But as the days were passing by, I understood it is finally in my possession. But please, do not think that it was forever in my life. It was just this period, the first period of my conversion, of my entrance into the faith. So everybody who goes sincerely, who enters this into this different way of life, into the faith, God gives everybody small temporal holiness. So I was now in this small finite holiness, and it was sign that to the Lord everything is possible. But then later on, many years after this, this struggle came back and it showed me that I'm not holy yet, and maybe I will never be, although I would like to, not to be praised by man, of course, but to be praised with the holy God. So this struggle came back to me to show me that now I have to earn this, because it was just a gift from the Lord. Now you have to earn passionlessness. Now you have to become passionless, but with your struggle. In the beginning, it was just a divine gift. And finally, I have finished my work on icon screen from Mexico City, and the day of departure get closer. So I finally started to prepare myself for definite leave, for definite leaving of the world. May God bless those beautiful days of my life, which seem really insane to the people of this world. But God knows, all the saints know, angels know, that this angelic life is something more real than this illusion that we call earthly life. O most beautiful Mother of Lord, forgive me, help me, and be always with me.